hallway right next to RG's office.
Any lawyer there?
Any
lawyer there?
No.
We're in Perek Zion Pasuk Gimel. Alright, so this is it. You know, until now, everything is behester. Everything is behester. There is something coming out that Haman went down. And that was more or less in public. Yeah, it was a public. There was a public display of Hashem's chesed. But even that, you know, there was no explanation for it. But Haman didn't know why he was going down. So that means until this pasuk, everything is hidden. This pasuk is what rips everything loose. Perek Zayin pasuk Gimel Vatan Esther Amalka, and she said, she opened up her mouth. Vatimer, and she said, In Matzatzi Chayin Beinecha Hamelach, if I find favor in your eyes, the king, Bimal Hamelach Taiv, and if it's good to the king, Tinasan Li Nafshi B'Sheilasi, you want to know what I want, you know, for myself? I'm asking you to spare my own life. That's what I'm asking for myself. And what do I ask for others? V'ami, and my nation, b'bakashasi, I'm asking for their lives as my request, as my bakasha. Here it is. Now this is a... What's up, pasuk? This is a pasuk. Alright, so we'll start with the Yosef Lekach. She put herself first. You know, that's something which might be a little out of character for Esther. Because as we know Esther, I mean, she'd be willing to die as long as her death would bring a salvation to the Jewish people.
You said it must have been a question for her.
True. I mean, that's, you know, just following the order. But still, you know, what's the primary and what's secondary? What's primary is the Jewish people. What's secondary is her own survival. And Bidarchlal, the primary comes first.
Well, what if she would say herself first? That would make like arouse his anger more.
Him,
like,
anger.
Like,
she did
like
say
his,
herself
his
first.
Compassion for her.
Compassion. Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what the Yosef Lekach says. Exactly what you said, Brian. Yosef Lekach says that she knew Zachashverosh didn't care about the Jews. They're more important, but he doesn't care. He just doesn't care. But he cares about her. So she put herself first, even though she wouldn't have wanted to do that. It was against her nature to put herself first, because then she would arouse compassion in him, and once his compassion is aroused, so then, you know, perhaps he could spare a little compassion for the Jewish people. It is an extension of her. I mean, it's something which Achashverosh would definitely understand, that life to her without her people would not be life. So she said, I am under a decree. I'm under a decree, a death sentence. And, you know, my people are under that sentence. And, you know, if you're thinking of sparing me and not my people, then that's also a death sentence. So that's why she did it in that order. Now, there's a targum on this pasuk. Because the pasuk makes it sound like she's talking to Achashverosh, but the targum says she wasn't talking to Achashverosh. Esther lifted up her eyes to heaven. And this is in character with everything we've said before. Esther was not in Achashverosh's palace. Her body was there, but Esther wasn't there. Esther was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That's where she was. She lifted up her eyes to Shemayim, and she begged the Kadosh Baruch Hu for compassion, for mercy. And she was asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu, save my life from our enemy. That's what I ask for myself. And redeem my people from their enemy. So she wasn't asking Achashverosh for anything. She was asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know, that's the problem of mixing mefarshim.
Because
I explained the Yosef Lekach's question so good that... And now the Targum is suffering as a result. You understand?
It's a kasha.
Yeah, you know.
No, even without it.
Okay, I don't know.
Why is she first? Because that was the... that's how he addressed her.
Well, you know, for others, you will be answered. Say yourself first doesn't make sense.
No, that was a key.
Yeah. Answer first, second.
It's interesting, because she uses different words to describe the opposition. She's asking a Kadosh Baruch Hu to save her from her hated one, from the one who hates her. She's asking Hashem, save me from the one who hates me and redeem my nation from their enemy. So she's asking for salvation and redemption for the people. She's asking for salvation from her hated one for her and redemption from the enemy for her people. So there's definitely something here which I think is going to address your question. I don't know. You have to think into it. Maybe it's even talking about...
That person hates her, or he hates her.
Yeah, maybe she is referring to two different people. Maybe she's talking about saving her from Ahasuerus and the people from Haman.
Ahasuerus doesn't hate her.
She hates him. If he knew how much she hated him, he would hate her. It's just a guess. I don't know. It's a Makam Iyum. It is a Makam Iyum. Pasuk Dalad. I mean, you have to appreciate what kind of danger she was putting herself into by saying this. Just think for a moment. She was in the palace for years. The one thing Ahasuerus wanted to know from her is where she comes from. And that's the one thing she held back from him. She didn't tell him. And we have different versions of this. I don't know, it was adopted, I don't remember. Some Mefarshim say nobody knew, some Mefarshim say that they did know she had a shakas with Mordechai. And she lied to him. She lied to him. The king's wish is his command. And he wanted to know where she's from. And for years she's saying, I don't know, I can't tell you, how am I supposed to... You see the extent that Ahasuerus went to find out, he investigated, and he tried to bribe her. He made a party, he made a whole Mishnah Esther, to build her up that she should tell him. And now she says, you know, I knew all along. I'm like, what do you think he's going to think? He's still going to love her? Does he think he's still going to love her? There's a very big nace that's going on here. And his anger over Haman, it totally slipped. You know, this is a detail that the Chaira, it should have been in the Megillah. There should have been some reaction, some response, like, oh, so you're Jewish. Oh. You know? There's nothing. His anger at Haman was so complete that that's the only reaction that's recorded here. There's no mention. It's like a different gear, sir. Like he wasn't embarrassed. It's like he totally... This is a nace. Can you imagine? This plan was not an airtight plan. For her to get Ahasuerus and get Haman, she had to reveal herself as a liar. Not just as a liar, but she was holding back the precious secret.
Did she not say it till after? He said, who is it that's trying to destroy your nation?
It's coming out. Yeah, but if she said, save my nation, that she had it... Even if she doesn't say which nation it is. Save my nation. Who? You have a nation? Even without her saying she was Jewish, she's in trouble. Save my nation. I thought you don't know your nation.
So then what's the second question in Pasuk Hey? Where's the one who dared to do so? What do you mean who dared try to kill out her nation? No one knows it's her nation.
I'm not sure what's bothering you. But first of all, we have a long way to until we get to Pasuk Hey. That's the first thing. And I'm not sure. Maybe if we get there, if you still have it... raise it, but this is like, I don't know if we stelled on this, if you dwelled on it, this is Mesiris Nefesh, and it's and Klai Yisrael's B'sakana, the risks are great, and she had to do it. It's called do or die, but here it means literally do or die. And you don't see any reactions. Pella. Kinim Karno Aniva Ami, we were sold. I was sold. My nation was sold. We were sold. Lahashmid, Laharoig, Laabed. We had these words before. He's going to rip us away from the Torah, kill us, destroy our bodies. Remember? Yeah. And if our fate would be to be sold as slaves and maid servants, Hecharashi, then I would have been silent. Because with his life, there's hope. So we'll be slaves. We'll do Torah, we'll do mitzvahs. We'll be alive, we could be Avdei Hashem. Because the enemy doesn't care about the injury that he's causing to the king. So it's Pashup Shah and the Pazak is if the oppressor Haman, who wasn't named yet, if he cared anything about the king, so then he wouldn't destroy an entire people from the kingdom. He would sell them. And the money would fill the coffers of the king. He doesn't care about the king. You think that he's doing this? Whoever's doing this? The oppressor does not, calculate. Benezek HaMelech, and the damage which is being caused to the king.
How do you translate that phrase?
The oppressor does not care about the damage caused to the king. That's what Rashi says. if this Russia had any care for the harm that he's causing to the kingdom, instead of killing out the Jewish nation, he would sell them and either sell them to another country, another Malchus, and give the money to the king, or have the Jewish people be the slaves of the king. That's what Yosef did. Yosef bought all the people of Mitzrayim. He sold them food. He bought all the people of Mitzrayim, and they were avodim to Para. Yosef was interested in the welfare of the kingdom. Mitzrayim is called Beis Avodim. It's called Beis Avodim, not because the Jews were slaves there, but because everyone was a slave there. But Haman just wants to kill out the people. There won't be any hanah from it. That's what's shot in the pasuk. There's a little bit of a problem with this. We were sold. In what manner were the Jews sold? How were they sold? They were going to be put to death. How are they sold? In what manner are they sold?
The lives are sold.
So the Pashup Shad is the money which Haman gave to Achashverosh. So he was buying them from Achashverosh. The problem with that is that Haman didn't give the money to Achashverosh. Achashverosh didn't take it. Achashverosh said, Kiswal Yehudim Altaiv Beinecha. I'm sorry. Achashverosh says, He didn't say Yehudim. Hakesef Nasum Lach, the money is given to you, but Am Lasos Bo Ketav Beinecha. You can do whatever you want. So why is the pasuk called a Mechira when there was no Mechira?
If you gave it back, that means there was a Mechira.
Yes, the Maral explains that there was a Mechira. There was a Mechira. The Maharal.
Oh.
Did you ever have the concept of Harehu Kilu Hiskabalti? And this is something which you learn out. We just learned about this in the laws of Mishleich Manus. You give a Shalach Manus to someone, and he doesn't take it. He says, no, you need it more than I do. Keep it. Oh, well, we learned it yesterday with Rabbi Siegel.
What's it called?
So you ate the mitzvah. You didn't give it. You did give it. And when he's refusing it, you could do it in two ways. You can give it to him, he'll make a kinyan on it, and he'll say, okay, now that it's mine, I'm gonna give it back to you. In that case you're definitely yet to the mitzvah. And then he can be yet to the mitzvah by giving it back to you. But the concept is called Afukha Matrasalamali. Like, what's the point in giving him something if he's gonna give it back to you? So he could say, you don't have to give it to me. I'm just going to give it back to you anyway. So Harehu Kilis Kabalti. It's as if I accepted it. So Maral says that was what Achashverosh did with Haman. You want to give me money? I don't want to keep money. So Haman, I'm going to make both of us happy. I'm going to say you want to give it. Consider it as if you gave it to me. So you'll be happy because it's as if you gave it to me, and I'll be happy because I didn't keep it. So Maral learns that there was a Mechira. There was a mechira. Even, you know, even like the pasuk pshita shamikra, there was a mechira. But on a higher level, I mean, you have to understand that when the Torah says Klal Yisrael was sold, that means Klal Yisrael was sold. They were really sold. And that's something which we could understand in light of the things Klal Yisrael did to get themselves into these circumstances in the first place. Kadosh Baruch Hu owns Klal Yisrael. Ami Yata, you're my nation. Meitzem Mata'ai, I planted you. Ma'aseh Yadav Lispar, I made you. You're mine. Klal Yisrael belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There are certain practices that when Klal Yisrael gets involved in, so then Ke'ilu Kiviyachol, I'm saying Kiviyachol, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends Klal Yisrael to Golas. And sending Klal Yisrael to Golas means giving Klal Yisrael over into the Rishus of someone else. And this is definitely the way it looks. And that right now I'm talking about the way things appear on the surface. The way things appear on the surface is that when Klal Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, and there was a Beis HaMikdash, and there were Ovdei Hashem, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our owner. And anything that affects us comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You daven, Hashem gives it to you, if it's good for you. Anyone tries to kidnap you or cause you harm, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And he protects you, because we're one of his. But in Golis, Hashem says, I'm saying this is only the way it looks. This is only on one level. Hashem says he no longer has anything to do with us. We're a slave, we no longer relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a child, number one. And we no longer relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like his slave, which is also a good thing, number two. And he sells us. And anything we want, anything we need, anything we get has to be from the nation that we're in. And that's Golus. I say this only on one level, because behind the scenes, Hashem is, you know, there's a muscle for these things. The king, that he banished his son, he sent him into the jungle, and he left, he sent him out without anything, and the son, you know, the king said, you're cut off, you're never going to get anything from me again, you're on your own. And then the son is walking along, and he's hungry. And all of a sudden, he sees a monkey with a loaf of bread. And the monkey drops down, and he gets a loaf. You know, the king, you know, would send him things. So the Goyim, it looks like, it appears as if they're in control of everything. They enslave us. If we have any needs, we have to get it through them. But they're just a monkey with a loaf of bread. So that's on different levels. But it's very real. It's very real. We have no control over our parnasa. Our parnasa is controlled by it. No, it doesn't. It, of course, our parnasa is actually controlled by Hashem, but that's not the form it takes. Our parnasa is controlled by the bosses. The financial world is governed by the non-Jews, by the Gentiles. The standards, the philosophies, all the power is consolidated, wars, governments, you know, you need anything? We do get things. Where do yeshivas get money from? Do you get donations? It's not enough. In America.
Government gives money.
There's government money. There's government. What?
Didn't take anything.
What?
They didn't take anything from
me. No, that's because... Rosh Yeshiva and Yer Yeshiva didn't want to take from the government for numerous reasons. But this is now, if you want to make a yeshiva, zoning laws. You can only do it at the, you know, with the acquiescence, goodwill of the government. Everything is controlled. You know, you want any type that filters down to Klal Yisrael comes through The masters are the slaves. That's the way things appear. We don't have any control. We're sold. So Esther was talking to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're sold. We're sold. We're in the power of Achashverosh. And you sold us. And we're in the process of, you know, getting out of it. In the process of reuniting. We want to be redeemed. We want to be redeemed. And, you know, the Targum uses the word. I mean, this is Mamash Meduyik in the Targum. Should save my life from the one who hates me and redeem my nation from the enemy. Redemption, you know, redemption is when you sold something because you needed money. So you had a land, you needed money, so you were desperate and you sold it, and then you get some money later and you want to buy it back. So she's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should save her, but more important, that he should redeem the nation. That means we were sold and we want to be bought back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, pay the guy off, take us back. That's, you know, this pasuk. Pasuk Hei, Vayimra HaMelech, and the king said, Achashverosh, Vatam LeEsther, HaMalka, Mi hu ze? Who is this? Ve'eze hu? And which one is he? It's redundant, of course, yeah.
It's says Vayimra twice.
Mi hu ze? Ve'eze hu? Yes, it says Vayimra twice. Good. Vayimra Melech HaKashverosh, Vayimra LeEsther HaMalka, it says Vayimra twice. Mi hu ze? Ve'eze hu? Who is this? And which one is this? Asher Milo Aliba, which his heart was filled, Lassos came to do this. So Achashverosh seems to be unaware of a decree to destroy.
Did she say it was the Jews?
She didn't say it was the Jews.
Does he know?
That's a question. How could he not know?
Easily. How many nations were being destroyed?
Right, how many nations were, how often did he do this?
Yeah, if he doesn't know who's doing it, then obviously he doesn't know anything.
Right,
about it.
Anyway, he says it. She didn't say she was Jewish yet.
And even if he did know, why would he reveal that to her?
In Pasha, in the, according to the Pasha Pshat, he didn't know. That's a question which we could have asked to be Prokin before.
We answered that.
Okay.
Yeah, but Rav maybe is in denial. Like he was so shocked.
Denial is, has to be denial. Explained. Yes, it could be he's in denial, but denial has to be, there has to be grounds for denial. There has to be something. There's no denial in the vacuum.
Maybe he's saying she knows him, but he doesn't want to be implicated in this.
Right, thing. So the villain, right? No, that's Pashad. If he's covering it up, then you don't have a question. So he's just lying. That's, you know, that's what, you know.
Not lying, but looking for a way out.
Like, well, he's telling her, I don't know who did it, so that means he's lying. That's a, you know, that's acceptable. It's an acceptable shot. He's lying. I'm trying to work, you know, we're trying to work our way past that one. And to say he's lying is the easy way out. That's the
is it possible he's drunk right now?
Not really sure. Is he drunk?
Well, right, so him stammering,
so,
talking
so the Yosef Lekach asked this question. The Yosef Lekach and the Evan Ezra both asked the same question. They asked Moshe's question. The pasuk starts out with Vayemer HaMelech Achashverosh. The king Achashverosh said, "Vayemel Esther Malka," and he said to Esther Malka. So he means he's the pasuk says the word Vayemel twice, and he said twice. The Yosef Lekach explains that there were two people at this mishnah. Let's not ignore the fact that Haman was there. Haman was second in command. Haman was the one. If anybody is destroying somebody, it's Haman. So the Yosef Lekach says he first turned to Haman. And he said, Esther said someone's trying to destroy her. Esther said someone's trying to kill out her nation. So right away he turns to Haman. Because he figures if anybody's at the bottom of this or behind this, it's Haman. And he says, Mi hu ze? Who is this? And Haman didn't answer him. So then he turns to Esther and he says, Eze hu? So which one? Who is it? So that's where he explains the double Vayemer and the Mizer Ezo. What? Well, according to this, it does. He had a pretty good idea. He was turning to Haman for confirmation. I mean, he knew that Haman was up to something like this.
What did he think he would, if he turned to Haman and say, "Who was it?" Haman would say, "Oh, it's me." I mean,
was he saying that, like, who are you?
It's like, what? Who is this who would do this?
Yeah, who is it?
That's me. I would do it. Like,
they weren't going to figure out that it was Haman.
He wouldn't volunteer.
No, it's a rhetorical question.
What was he saying, like, who are, like, you?
It's rhetoric.
My trusted advisor that I said,
like, who is this? Is this your doing, Haman? And he expected Haman to, you know, they were in cahoots with each other. Is this you? You're threatening my queen? Who is this? And he didn't answer him.
So he could have still not thought, he could have thought that Haman took it in his own right. Besides killing out the Jews, he wanted to kill out another nation.
I don't know. I mean, you know, that's the pashup shot. If he's saying he didn't know, and he knew that Haman was killing somebody out, and he said, I don't know who it is, and then you're going to have to come up with that possibility that there's someone else. That's highly unlikely.
Well, Haman right now had the signet ring. He could do with anything that he wanted with it, couldn't he?
Yes.
Kill another nation.
Yes.
Like it's a new plot.
Yes. These are all possibilities. I just don't know if it answers all the questions. Devin Ezra has another explanation why it says Vayemu twice. He said Achashverosh was so angry that somebody was threatening his queen that he couldn't speak straight. he was stuttering. That's how Devin Ezra says this. Vayemu, you know. That's Devin Ezra.
He'd have to be a pretty good actor for that. If he was.
He was angry. Yeah, he was angry. But Devin Ezra, he wasn't acting. He was angry. There was genuine anger here. There was, according to all the Shitas, whether he knew about it or he didn't know about it, but there was genuine anger because he didn't want Esther to be killed. That was genuine. And that was because Hashem put Esther's grace, her chain, in his eyes. That was also a nice. By all rights, he should have killed Esther a long time ago. But there was a chutz shel chesed on her. The Vilnagain explains mi huzeh ve'ezeh hu, it's two different things. Who is this and what is this? Is mi huzeh, who's the person that's doing this? Ezeh hu, that's a what. Mi is a who and ezeh is a what. So mi is who's the one that's doing it. Ezeh hu is what. The Vilna Gaon said he was challenging Esther. She says, "What do you mean your danger, your nation's in danger? I thought you don't know which nation you're from." Ezehu means which nation? Miuza, who's doing this? And Ezehu is which nation? And it's Meduyik. That's Sapi Diktik. It's very Meduyik. Which nation? So he was, the Vilna Gaon said that he did notice this slip, or this it was an intentional slip, but he did notice it. Mizo, Ezo, which nation? I thought you don't know which nation you're from. And she never explained this. She never explained why she didn't tell him.
Answer the first question first.
She answered which nation, but she never, they sort of got into the Haman aspect, never got away from, never got back to this. Hashem lo libay, that his heart was filled. What was Haman's heart filled with? His heart was filled with the eradication of Klal Yisrael, the destruction of Klal Yisrael, the destruction of Torah in this world as we know it. And the gematria of the phrase Hashem lo libo, those three words, is 616. The one who says this gematria is the Rekech. And that's the exact same gematria as the word HaTorah, the Torah, because Haman had in his heart to destroy the Torah, to eradicate the Torah, Chas V'Shalom, but Haman brought about Kabbalah Satorah. Haman deserves a medal for what he did. He did more than 48 prophets. He did more than all the prophets together from the time that there were prophets to Klal Yisrael. Haman was the one who brought about Kabbalah Satorah. And Hashem Allah Olibai.
You should cheer by Haman. Should be
done. Yeah, I always heard the vart that you should. Haman should be Haman Atzadik because Avraham Avinu is a big tzaddik, and he became a tzaddik because he tried to kill one Jew, and Haman tried to kill all the Jews, so Yechal B'chomer should be a tzaddik.
6:16 is not your whatever.
HaTorah.
HaTorah.
This is views. The next pasuk is also one of my favorite pasukim. Vatayma Esther. And Esther said, before we start the next puzzle, you know, we said in the previous prakim that Ahasuerus did not know that Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people.
What?
Ahasuerus told Haman to write on the Jews the Lashon of Pasuk, the Lashon of the Pasuk. Is Imalamelech Tov Yikasev La'abdom. It should be written that they should get lost. Remember this? Aveda. La'abdom means to get lost, like an Aveda. To get lost. And then there was another pasuk which we spoke about them. That this is in Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes Yud and Yud Aleph. Akesav Nasalach, Ahasuerus said to Haman, the money is returned to you, Va'am La'sozba, and the nation is to do with them, Katayv. Kill them with kindness. Katayv Be'necha. So Ahasuerus said, he gave him a license, he did not give him a hunting license. He gave him a license to make them be lost. They should lose themselves. How? Katayv Be'necha. With goodness. Ahasuerus wanted he wanted to be the good cop. We want it to be the good cop. Yeah, give them equal rights. Offer them free public school. You know, the tuition bills must be out of control. Yeah, tell them you have kosher food in the cafeteria. Don't worry, you know. Treat them nice, and then they're going to get lost. Any one of us that grew up in this generation could identify with this, that America has destroyed more Jews than any nation since, you know, in recorded history. You know, Hitler destroyed about 50% of the Jews, and America destroyed about 95% of the Jews. Millions of Jews that they don't even... That's Ahasuerus' plan. That is Ahasuerus' plan.
Didn't we say that Ahasuerus was really a Rasha and he was in this all the way, but we just had to write nice about him?
I wouldn't say that someone's a tzaddik if they have a plan to destroy the Jewish people.
All it's saying is it doesn't want to say anything bad about Ahasuerus in the entire Megillah, because he was still alive and it would have been
treason. Okay, so the Megillah is very careful. The Megillah is very careful, but it's very clear for those that study the Megillah in depth, that Ahasuerus was a wicked, wicked Rasha.
So wicked Rasha. So you can't be that medic off of the words. If we can't say what he actually, like, let's say he said kill them out, we can't say that. So it just gives a loophole out in the words. Now for us to learn something out of those words that were changed.
Well, we may not be able to be medic from, but the Rishonim could. And our understanding of what words mean is very, very limited. We have a very, very shallow understanding of what words mean, but the Rishonim, they understood what words are. They knew what the word really meant.
Well, let's say Ahasuerus said to kill them out. And they
yeah, but the Rishonim that we're drawing the Pshatim from say that the word La'abed is contrary to Lahashman Laharag La'abed. So, you know, in some Pesukim it says Lahashman Laharag La'abed.
I'm saying, like, let's say it should have said that about Ahasuerus, but they couldn't write that because Ahasuerus was still alive. So they had to write La'abed, so Ahasuerus would look at him and be like, oh yeah, it just makes it seem like I just wanted them to be lost.
There's many ways to word things, and that could have been gotten around. But, you know, just... I mean, if Ahasuerus had wanted to destroy the Jewish people and kill them and their bodies, so they could have been worded in a way that would convey that without being so obvious, and it didn't do it. And they said, this is how the Rishonim understand the word La'abed. So according to that pshat, Ahasuerus could have been protesting innocently, because Esther said that the Jewish people is being delivered over to Lahashman Laharag La'abed, and Ahasuerus had no clue who it was. He could have meant it innocently, honestly, innocently. He had no clue. He said, I never give anyone permission to do that. Okay, so either he was covering it up, he knew when he was covering it up, or he didn't know. He had no idea. This wasn't... Achashverosh's mahalach was not the mahalach of Ritzicha. Achashverosh, he wanted to swallow up the Jewish people. He didn't want to kill them. Haman didn't want to swallow up the Jewish people. He's Amalek. Amalek wants the Jewish people not to be. You said different... Goyim have different ways of opposing Klal Yisrael. Achashverosh's approach and Haman's approach. So he could have meant it sincerely and honestly. Pasuk Vav. Vatayimer Esther, and Esther said, Ish, a man, tsar, an oppressor, v'ayev, and an enemy, Haman, hara hazeh. This is where it comes out. Haman, hara hazeh. This evil Haman. V'haman nivas mifnei ha-melech. He was trembling from in front of mifnei ha-melech, from in front of the king. V'hamalka and the queen. So, you know, the Targum, there's an Arichas in the Targum. She said a lot more than this. She said a lot more.
Wow.
She said, you know who's trying to kill me? You know who's trying to kill my people? He's an oppressor. He's an enemy. And Achashverosh, he wanted to kill you too. What do you think Haman was doing by your door early in the morning? She said, it's a good thing you sent him out to lead Mordechai through the streets. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here anymore. Because Haman was coming there. He was trying, you know. He said, did Haman ever come to your door early in the morning before? He was trying to kill you. And he's always wanted to wear your royal garments. And he always wanted to ride your horse. She was good, Esther. She was good. Haman put the noose around his own neck. She had all the evidence on him. You can't kill a minister without evidence. She had it. She said, don't you think it was strange that Haman came to your door that early in the morning? Don't you think it was strange that Haman, you know, expressed the wish that to honor someone is to wear your clothing and to ride on your horse? She said, don't leave out the fact that Haman wanted to put your crown on his head. Do you remember that, Achashverosh?
How'd you know it?
Esther knew everything. She was a prophetess. He wanted to rebel against you. He wanted to take the monarchy away from you. And then Shemayim. She said, Siyata the Shemayim. She said, the God of the Jews saved you, Achashverosh. She's talking like, you know, she's a prophetess. Mina Shemayim. Instead of Haman killing you. So then, in place of that, you honored Mordechai. That saved your life. Hashem did a nace for you, Achashverosh. He saved my uncle. Mordechai is my uncle. We are family. She revealed her family connection to Mordechai. And of course, that means her bloodline as well. He's my father's brother, which means I come from the same place that he comes from. My father and his father were brothers. And their grandfather was Yair, Shimi, Shmida, Bana, Ela, Micha, Mephibosheth. Starting to get familiar? Does anyone know who Mephibosheth is? No, that's Ishbosheth. Mephibosheth, son of Yonasan, the son of Shaul, of Kish, Aviel, Tsrar, Bechiris, Afia, Shcharim, Uziah, Sasaim, Michal, Eliel, Amihud, Shvatia, Penuel, Pesach, Meloich, Yerubal, Yeruchim, Hananya, Zavdi. Wow, Hanani and Pesach are in here. Alafel, Shimri, Zavadia, Ramus, Hashem, Shchaira, Uza, Guza, Gera, Binyamin, Yankiv, Yitzchak, Avram.
Wow, she went really far back.
The enemy of Haman. And Haman wanted to murder Mordechai. So you see that she goes all the way up. She's of royal blood. She's a Malka. She's all the way, and Haman wanted to eradicate this line, because Haman is the sworn enemy of the descendants of Rabbi Yitzchak and Yankov, and that's where we are. That's the Targum. We don't have time to do this pasuk justice, but I'll just add one more thing. The Vilna Gaon says that the Haman was nervous. He was trembling in front of the king and in front of the queen. The meaning of there, he was in trembling because of the king and because of the queen. You know, what's the meaning of that? He said, because Haman could have weaseled his way out of it. Haman was a survivor. A Molech survives. They'll do anything to survive. They'll assume any form in order to survive. If Haman was in front of the king, he could have taken care of this. He had a mahalach. He could have done it. He could have told the king, he says, come on, you know that these people don't deserve to live. They are the dregs of earth. You hate them as much as I do. We could, you know, we see eye to eye in this. You think Ahasuerus loved the Jews? He loved Esther. He didn't love the Jews. If he was in front of Esther, so he could have told Esther, if I would have known that this was your nation, I never, ever would have wanted, I didn't know that the Jewish people could produce, you know, he would have done it. Because Amalek survives. They will lick boots. They will. I never thought, Esther, I never dreamed that they had such royalty in it. I never would have done it, believe me, Esther. And of course, then he'd turn around and stab her in the back. But he would say it. But if that's how the Vilna Gaon learns the pasuk, he was nivaz, he was trembling. Why? Lifnei Melech Mamalka. The words Lifnei Melech Mamalka are a reason why he's trembling, because he's in front of both. He can't say Tachashverosh that the Jews are the pits, you know, in front of Esther. Can't do that. Even Tachashverosh won't tolerate that. He might hate the Jews, but he's not going to let somebody else say it in front of his queen. And he can't say in front of Ahasuerus to Esther, oh, I never would have dreamed that we'd, if I would have known that the Jewish people, because Ahasuerus knows he's a dirty, rotten liar. He doesn't care if Esther comes from them or not. So that's the Vilna Gaon. He's trembling. Why is he trembling? Because he's in front of, he is.
But then when Ahasuerus goes out into the garden, he could, he did actually try to.
He tried to get Esther on her own. Exactly. Exactly. He tried, you know, he saw his opportunity, and he went for it. But the Malach didn't help him. The Malach pushed him on the bed. And we'll see that in Mitzvah Shem next week.